Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go. Hello, Fairway Fit fans. Welcome back. It has been, man, Greg, it has been almost 3 weeks since we've been on the mics. We've seen each other a couple times, but man, we are back on the mics for episode 18. How are we doing?
Doing great. Fantastic. Happy to be here after the technical difficulties. We're done with that.
Yeah, I think this is attempt number 3 of the week to get on the mics. One day I had to cancel. One day we got pushed back, and then we've been actually struggling to get on here for almost about an hour now, but we are locked and loaded, and we got a full episode to talk about. A lot of information to go over. We got to talk about the end of our summer season. We're going to go over through some top five exercises, something that we started a couple episodes ago. And then at the end, we are going to have a big announcement, so make sure we stay and listen all the way through to get us to our announcement. But I think it's time to talk about Greg and in the summer season and how we have come to an end. And before we even get to our stats, I'm going to say it right here, right now. Congratulations, Greg, for taking home the summer season, our 10-week season where we played one round a week, where we matched up. How does it feel to get yourself a point on the board?
I'm not going to lie. I can care less. It's like getting the thumbs up when you finish second place. What? Oh, here's a participation trophy.
Matt, I think it's a little, you got to think that you're moving in the right direction. I know it's not, I know the technical World Series part of this that we had a competition on.
Until you win a major, you're not a person that people talk about on the golf, on the golf scene. Until I win a major. All right, I can win a summer season after summer season. It ain't gonna mean anything to me right now. I need to win a major. I don't. Now I'm training to just win major number 5 and 6. I lost the entire thing, but I gotta save some face here.
I got you. It's almost like this weekend when Scottie Scheffler started 10 under and Colin Morikawa actually outplayed him, but he didn't win the tournament. I know there's a lot of scuttle about the format of the Tour Championship. Can't say we're quite at that level.
Wait, are you comparing me as saying I'm Scottie Scheffler and you're Colin Morikawa and you outplayed me, but you didn't win the tournament?
No, it would actually have been the other way around.
No, because I'm starting with 10, 12, 14 strokes on you every single time.
I took it more as I have a large lead and you technically beat me this time, but it doesn't matter because I won. Like Scotty's $62 million that he won this year.
That's not even that much.
When his caddy.
I feel like $62 million now to me is a lot, but I feel like to the world, they're like, you're like not even like top 100 of the richest people in the world.
I don't, 62 is not 6.2. You're hearing right. I know we had some technical difficulties.
I understand that. But I just feel like, I don't know, like, you look at people with $120 million contracts for 2 years, like,
yeah,
in other major sports.
I mean, I get where you're going, but I think my man made $12,000 plus a shot is what it was broken down to. So every time he swung the golf club, he made $12,000 in tournament play.
Like, I spent that much in golf balls this year.
Golf balls. I did see your new stock, so you did stock up for the fall here. Yeah, I mean, Scotty's caddy is, I think, in the top 20 on the PGA money list this year.
That's solid.
That's pretty good. He's just a caddy. He doesn't have to hit any shots, and he's top 20. So that's pretty impressive. Now, I was just basically saying that the format was a little bit weird. And I know you should feel good about yourself. You did play well throughout the summer. You definitely improved.
I still am 0 for. I'm 0 for majors. I'm 0 for all of my goals. Until I hit one of my goals, I'm going to just say, you know what? Whatever. That's great. Summer season champ. Awesome. But until I hit one of my goals, I'm going to just say I'm a sack of poop.
Well, you got to look at the positive things. Got to look at the positive. This is the step in the right direction, right? You can't win a second thing without winning a first thing.
I have finally lowered my handicap from January when we started this.
From the beginning. All right. Before we get to that, because we will touch base on handicaps and different things, let's go ahead and do a quick review of week number 9. I don't have all the details. Like we said, it's been a couple weeks since we've been on the air. But in week number 9, which is pushing almost 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, I actually, if you recall, 2 episodes ago, I threw that blind Hail Mary. I knew that I needed not only a blind Hail Mary, but I needed bonus points to somewhat try to catch you. And it was close. It was close. If I have the numbers right, I think you actually did not play well that weekend. I had you score-wise. I think you shot a 92, net 87. Do you remember where you played that round was?
I'm pretty sure it was South Riding.
So we won't even get into those because that was probably one of your worst rounds of the summer. I was close. Obviously, I was able to take the blind Hail Mary part, which gave me not double but triple the amount of points I needed to get that bonus point where I would have shot a sub 75, and I ended up shooting a 76 net 73, and I did that week number 9. Where week number 9 was?
Was that the Herndon Centennial?
That was our Herndon round.
I was just looking at that. Oh God, yeah, I played
horrible. That was our Herndon round.
Yeah, that one. Ugh, oof, I'd rather forget that one.
Yeah, I think the next one is your South Riding round. Yeah, Herndon round. We met up after work or in between work, however we want to say it, and scooted over to a course that I've played a couple times. I don't think you said you've ever played there.
Never played there. Always saw it on Golf Now. Never pulled the trigger on it.
It is a municipal course, not too far from us, a county-owned property. I can't say it was in bad shape. I would say
that it was in solid shape.
It was pretty good.
It's no Augusta. It's no.
No, of course not.
It's no private country club. But I would say that it played pretty true. Played pretty well. I didn't see any dead tee boxes or anything like that. There was a couple of spots on greens here and there, but that's...
If I remember right, that was right after the Hurricane Debbie came through, so everything was still a little wet. Yeah, the Debbie Downer came through, and I think with a lot of courses, I noticed they let some grass grow because they couldn't put the mower on it as fast as they probably had been all summer. So I do remember things being a little bit on the longer side, but as far as being green, pretty well kept. I thought it was an okay course. It's definitely probably sloped and has a course rating a little bit easier than what we normally play. I do remember now a little bit. I actually had a chance. I think I came through the front side one over and then fell apart on the back side. Even though I ended eagle birdie, I still only shot a 76. And I think I got to number 16 or 17. And I told you I have to birdie every hole to get my bonus point. I blew it on 16, but I ended up eagling 17 and birdieing 18. Almost jokingly, because I think I was swinging a little bit more aggressive because I was frustrated, didn't really care about my score, but I ended up ending eagle birdie to finish. But my stats were not very good. Did not hit a lot of greens, did not hit a lot of fairways.
I do believe the eagle went down as a zero putt as well, did it not?
Technically, it was a zero putt. I was on the fringe. I don't only think I hit 33% of the greens, and I think when I looked into the stats before our episode, you were pretty similar as far as your greens. I think I hit one more fairway than you. So as much as I scored fairly decent right around what I've been doing all summer, it was not low enough. So I was able to get 6 points with the blind Hail Mary, and that took us to 12 and a half for you, and it gave me 9.5 points. And I actually think when I left there, I told you it was over mathematically. I had no way of catching you. And then when I got home and looked at our leaderboard, I did notice that if I was able to play week 10, obviously I couldn't do any Hail Marys, but if I was able to get to week 10 and still get my bonus point, I could at least tie you, and then we would have to figure it out. But not the case. I don't even think we got this one in almost right away. I think we were with work and everything starting back for us, it took us a while to get back on the course. I was close. I know I shot a 75, net 72, but I believe you shot, did you shoot an 85? I think you have 86, net 70. So that was able to give you the title. I think, if I remember right, I think I was on 13 and I texted you and said, I got a chance. And I ended up ending the round, like, I think I doubled 14, bogeyed 16, and I was able to. And I think I texted you, I needed an eagle on 18 to get there. And I ended up birdieing 18 for a 75. The story of my summer, I played fairly well, just not quite as well as you did. Do you remember any bit of the round? I know it was about 2 weeks ago or so. Do you remember the round that put you on the board for that 1 point?
No. Look it up real quick. Actually, it was another day that I had to go off the back. I know that. Another day that I think I...
Was this the one where you were like rolling for 10, 11 holes?
Yeah.
Like, and I think I remember when I peeked in at you, I was like, oh man, today's the day he's going to shoot. I think you sat around that 78, 79 mark for a long time. And then the last couple holes got you.
It was the turn that got me. I started on the back nine again and went par, bogey. Then just on that par 5, 15, I had a double. I had my second shot that went, I just snap hooked it out of bounds. Got in my head, went bogey, double to finish out. Then I just made the turn and blew up for a little bit. Went double, triple, double on a par, two par 5s that are scoreable. Settled it, went par, bogey, birdie, par, and, you know, 42, 44. Somehow I started hot on the back, slowed it down, then middle seven holes I just fell apart and then pulled it back together to finish it. But that one was not the 10-hole streak. That was the one that was before not the that. It was another one where I had spots of, hey, maybe I'm figuring this out. And then, nope, there it is. It's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, you have, I don't know, I'm going to call it that Anthony's whole rounds going for you where you're six holes about what you're supposed to be, six holes lights out, and then six holes where they're not that great. And I think even up last, if you think in your last round this past Monday, I want to say when I looked at your stats, you were five or six still double bogey plus type holes. And that's just keeping you out of the low 80s, high 70s when it comes down to it. Cutting it in half where it's five or six shots and you're shooting 86, 87. Now you're 80, 81, 82, right around there. Just roll one more putt in. You just never know where you're going
to
be.
I'm looking forward to Monday. I get to play in a scramble. So I don't have to worry about scoring. I can just go out there and have fun and
let her rip.
Hit shots.
Yeah, I think so. After 10 weeks, for those who have not been following along with us, we had 10 weeks. One first round of every week, we did a competition. We had a lot of point systems that you could follow along, get bonus points here and there. We were able to throw Hail Marys, blind Hail Marys to try to get our points doubled, tripled, or quadrupled. But I think when it came down to it, outside of a couple blind Mary or Hail Marys that did work out for us, I think we only really got one bonus point between the two of us because I know I did not have any rounds sub 75. I think you got one round, maybe one round. Two rounds were.
No, one round. I had the 84 and good old Land O'Lakes butter course.
There we go. You had 184
cuts there.
You had the 184 to get you the bonus. Very hard to say, but nobody had a hole in one.
Yeah, nobody. No.
Nobody had a hole in one. I don't think we even had a net hole in one.
No.
I'd probably have to look really hard about that. I don't know. I did not get anything par or better, and you were not anything in the 70s quite yet. So overall, man, that was pretty successful. I did have a lot of fun doing it. We did get better, and it's hard to – I know you're not thrilled about taking the victory, but you definitely were trending all summer in the right direction. It's funny to look back at our notes when we wrote down all of our point system that I actually thought the bonuses were going to come into play a little bit more than they did. I know for myself, I think right then and there when we set those, I had a couple 75s and I'm like, yeah, I could throw a 74. And I never did. Never. I guess I had a 75 once or twice throughout the 10 rounds that counted, but I think never did
like
that.
Mine was a reach too, because I remember when we set it, I was like, set it at an 85. I was like, because the best round I've had in the last 4 months has been an 89. And that was like a luck box one. But I don't think I had broken. I think 90 before then.
I think they were right around.
They were like 90, couple, I think.
They were a couple, 2 to 3 strokes better than what our handicap was playing. I think when we went into the summer season, I was playing right around a 5, maybe a 6. And I think at my home course, that puts me at a 7. Because I think, remember the first round, I Hail Married on you. I shot like 75, but I netted like a 68. So that was a big difference. Now it doesn't work that way. I don't get as many strokes. And I think you were the same way. I think we had it where it was very close. We had to be something like 2 or 3 shots for me better. And yours was like 3 or 4 shots better than your handicap, which obviously is very doable. And you proved it. You got your handicap back down to where it is.
Like right now, as soon as that fire symbol came off of my grint, my game went back down.
We both have been just ridiculously busy in the last, 2.5 weeks. We are both back to work full time. No more summer breaks. No more vacation. So I know it's a lot harder to get out. I know it's a lot harder to get to the range as far as practicing. I still was able to slide out over the holiday weekend quite a bit, but I do have some crazy stats. And we always try to look at numbers and try to get proven and do the analytics and all that types of things. So if you took your 10 rounds and you averaged your 10 rounds, you averaged a 90. Ugh. I think when we went into it, you were like a 17, maybe
I think
teen.
It was an 18.4.
An 18 when we started.
18.7 is like the highest I got this year.
And I know that doesn't sound as good, but you were right there. You were a 90 net. You shot a 90 net, 72.7. And out of the 10 rounds, you had 7 of them net par or better.
Yeah.
And if you're only there, then what they say is you're only supposed to really, your handicap's a potential. It's not what you're supposed to shoot. It's the potential. So you outplayed your potential 7 out of 10 times. You have to look at that. I know the numbers aren't where you want to be, but if you look at that, you outplayed your potential 7 out of 10 times.
The story of my life. If anybody looks at me and then looks at Laura, I mean, they understand that I outkicked my coverage on that one too. So I'm used to just way overproducing my potential.
Well, we got to keep going. Keep going in that direction. Need a little bit more.
Yeah.
Need a little bit more.
A lot more.
But out of my 10 rounds, I averaged a 78.9. So I averaged a 79. I was averaging a net of a 74.3, and I had 3 of my 10 rounds were par or better net. Had quite a few between that 75 to 77 number, and then I think I had an 87 in there and in another high number.
I think the Herndon Centennial one was your highest round, though.
Herndon was 76. I shot a 76. I picked up 3 shots at Herndon in the last 2 holes. So
Lansdowne
round was my worst round.
That's what it was. I knew Lansdowne. I was playing with you when you had it.
I had a Lansdowne round, and I had a round with Dad down in Myrtle that kept me up there, kept that average up there a little bit. I probably should have looked at maybe what we did the last 5 weeks, because I know you have definitely trended in that. You were trending a lot during like week 7 to week 2. Was you were pretty much on fire right then and there. And you had a lot of stuff going on at that time. So it's a huge positive. So you're on the board. You got yourself a point. You went out. I know it's not going to look at LA to you, but
makes
on the scoreboard.
It look a lot closer on paper.
It makes it look a lot closer on paper. I know that's not what it is.
Nobody's going to go backwards when they just hear that. If they show up on the last episode of season 1, they just hear that, I'll finish the season 4-3. All right, fine.
Yeah, we'll put, if it ends up that way, which I personally don't, I hope you play well. We both play well coming in, but what ends that way, we'll start off season 2 saying, just go back to episode whatever no, it is no, when we talk
just,
about
we're
that.
We're just going to lock every episode except for the last one.
We'll just say, was it last year? It ended 4-3 in our World Series. We won't say how it got though. But yeah, so the summer season is over. I don't know what we're going to talk about, call the fall season. We still have a good amount of time left to play some golf. I do know the amount of rounds are probably decreased quite a bit with youth sports, taking care of our kids, back to work, all those great things that we are living life with. It's going to be a little bit more difficult to get me out there. I was able to get out quite a bit this weekend. I think you played twice this weekend, once with me this past holiday weekend.
Played but with I definitely,
yeah, you did. But I definitely see the next couple of weeks going to be trying to slide in 9 holes, 18 holes, whatever we can do. So hopefully we keep it up.
The difference with me is I'm actually going to get another 2 vacation golf trips type stuff.
You do? I wasn't even invited.
I get to go down and play my favorite course in the world. I'm going to go play Nag's Head Golf Links. And I'm also going to get to play a course in Fenwick Island when we go up there that I believe is, it's either a Norman or an RTJ course. I can't remember what it is, but.
I know when we went to Fenwick the one time, we had a hard time finding courses right there.
This is like a gated community that we're staying in. And,
so that's what I was going to say. I remember there was one that was private.
Parents. Yeah, Laura's friend's parents live there and he's a member and he's, yeah, I'll take you out there. And I was like, bet.
Nice. Can't beat that. Can't beat that when somebody takes you out there to play. But speaking of being busy, I know one thing we've tried to do as we have gotten back to our regular routines is really to try to keep up our fitness, keep up our somewhat of our training to make sure that we are still improving, not only on the golf course, but off the golf course. I have been able to, now that we're back to work on a regular basis, it's one thing I've been pretty proud of. I've adjusted my schedule where I do get up quite a bit earlier to go get my workout, but I am definitely getting my workouts in pretty much 4 or 5 times a week. Still keeping my mileages on the lower side, but it's more regular. Instead of adding in some longer ones, I've just been doing a lot of shorter runs. I don't have as much time before work since my schedule has changed a little bit, but I know I've been doing a pretty good job. What about yourself?
I'm on the struggle bus right now. It's one of those things where we're just, I understand that there's 95% of the time I am scheduled and disciplined, and you know what, the last thing in the world that I'm going to skip on a day is a workout. But I would say that probably the last month I've been super sporadic with my workouts, and there'll be days where I'll work out, I'll lift, I'll run, I'll go hit balls, I'll another workout, I'll go to the park with the kids and just doing active stuff all day. And then there's other days where I'll be stuck at my desk or in a meeting or in a training and doing stuff like that, to the point where like the last thing I want to do right then and there is go into the gym. I am changing that now. Like one of the things that I'm working on doing is basically programming a plan for myself that is basically going to be conducive on my planning periods and on the time that I actually have. So if on Tuesdays I'm busy, it's going to be a shorter workout. If on Wednesdays I got more time, I can put more effort into it and have more time to work out. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to get myself back under control. Not under control, but just back on
party animal.
Back on a schedule. Yeah, you know me. Actually, football season starting up. Those Thursday night games. Whew. But yeah, like I fell off a little bit where I wasn't my Monday through Sunday type thing. It was, I'd work out on Monday and then I'd go for a run on Thursday and then I'd run and do a workout in the garage on Saturday or Sunday. And then that was next thing to next week. And I'm like, all right, I need to set myself on this. I literally am falling into that normal person mentality of, all right, next week is going to be different. Next week is going to be different. And life happens. I haven't really felt like I've lost anything. I'm still active all day long. I'm still in a weight room teaching kids how to lift. I still walk around and I probably still get every single day, I probably get 50 to 60 reps of lifts in just by demonstrating. But at the same time, I don't get my true workout in. It's something I'm working on changing, and I'm willing to admit that I'm not this person. I'm not Goggins. I'm not a guy that I didn't stay hard today. I have my moments where life happens and had two kids sick and still having to deal with the dog's ears and it takes my planning periods and fell off. But you know what? That's the plan, is that as soon as I'm putting a plan together for myself, and I'm going to hold myself accountable.
Yeah, it's usually we're the opposite. Usually I'm the little bit more of the wishy-washy, especially during the summer, not having access to what you do. But I was looking forward to getting back to that routine. And I think you being there all, not all summer, but closer to your gym to get to, you, it's not as much of a drastic change, where I was like, and it's almost like I was a kid in a candy store getting back into that weight room.
You're like,
and
Tommy, I'm all new pet.
Yeah. But I'm also now teaching weight room myself too. I felt like I needed to be, you do what you preach, be able to showcase what I'm doing as much as the next guy. And it's been good for me. Can't say my knees have been completely there. I've had to do a lot of stretching and mobility, getting back into it. But I'm finally starting to feel a little bit better. I think I went, just like traditionally, I went a little bit too hard on that first week back, being excited. And I had to play a couple weeks of catch up to get myself back to where it is. But I've been feeling pretty good the last couple of days.
You got to know that we're in our 40s. You can't just walk back in there and start throwing up 225 for reps.
I know. And I know. And believe it or not, in the next couple of weeks, we'll be even older. Both of us coming up here shortly. We are definitely getting up there.
You'll still be older than me, though.
Always be. But yeah, it's funny you bring up Thursday football. Definitely something that we try to, well, all the sports, we watch a lot of sports. But if you haven't noticed, for our fans out there, we are up to date. All right. It has taken us most of the year. We have been able to record and then post a couple episodes, but now we are up to date. We are starting, I'm pretty sure.
We are current, which means that I don't have to think about what we talked about in that episode or re-listen to it before I post a reel or anything like that.
No, we are live, and football starts tomorrow, right?
Yeah, buddy.
There you go. There's your first Thursday night game to get you going. A little disappointed.
Solid, it's a solid one. It's not even a soft toss. It's Chiefs, no, I know. Ravens. Come on.
Man. I know. It is a good one.
Being a Steelers fan.
I feel like the Thursday night game always is.
But at the same time, it's a solid warm-up game.
I always think the first Thursday night's a big game. Isn't it been for the last couple of years?
What I'm thinking about is the Hall of Fame game is usually the worst game ever.
It is.
And the Steelers. Thursday night gets you pumped up. Played it in a lot.
The Thursday night gets you pumped up and disappoints you on Sunday when it comes around. But yeah, back on our exercises, something we started a couple episodes ago was we were going to do our top five. I believe that day we did top five body weight. I may have said we were going to do a certain order of exercises, but today we're going to talk about our top five dumbbell exercises. And I guess what we're trying to do is we're trying to get certain exercises that maybe our fans can start incorporating into their training sessions at home. And so, Greg, the big winner of the summer season, let's go ahead and I'll let you start off. We'll go back and forth on and some of them, as you may have heard in our previous episodes, they do overlap a little bit. We do have similar tastes in some of our workouts and exercises, but we'll see what you got. So you go ahead and start one. We'll go back and forth.
All right. One of my number, I'm continuing on the body weight one, but if you can weight this and work on balance and posture and posterior chain and core stability and everything like that, balance, a single leg RDL with a dumbbell. And now you can basically work it and modify it in order to fit your fitness ability by having a balance point for your non-holding hand. You can add a instability ball. You can add a form of, some people have used, if you want to not use a dumbbell, I've used a bar that is filled with water so it sloshes left and right and forces you to use a stabilizers even more. But if we're just talking a single dumbbell, single leg RDL, perfect for a golf swing.
Yeah, I had single leg deadlift for mine. So very similar exercises when we go to it. I was waiting for you to say your single leg kickstand RDL. I think that's something every time we always talk about you always talk about.
It's an exercise.
I know. I hear about it all the time. So right there, you had your single leg RDL. Mine was more of a single leg deadlift, but very similar exercises. I definitely do a ton of RDL work With the dumbbells, I like that stability where we're isolating one side and the other. Just like, you know, we always talk about when we're running, everyone trains the legs together, but actually running is an exercise where they are alternating and they're isolated leg movements. So I think anytime you can do unilateral movements, anytime you can do stuff to assist you in those exercises are great. So number two for me, I went back to my squats. I love squatting. I would have my goblet squat, just where we're holding the dumbbell out in front of you. Very standard exercise. A lot of different ways to do it. I know people don't always just hold dumbbells when they do it, but I just went with a regular traditional dumbbell goblet squat.
And for you, you keep going complaining about your knees. I want to do some heel elevated goblet squats.
Yes. That I have worked those in this week.
I went to, and continuing with the posterior chain, I went with an alternating dumbbell gorilla row, where basically this is unsupported so that you activate your core. You're bent over at about 90 degrees, legs spread very wide so that you don't have any problems with your elbows hitting your thighs, and just alternating dumbbell rows when you're bent over. Perfect for the core, activates not only your, for those people that don't know, your core is your abs, but it's also your lower back, two very big, important things in a golf swing. And a lot of people neglect the lats, the posterior, your deltoid, your rear deltoid, when it comes to a golf swing. And you do a lot of pulling motions in a golf swing. Got to have that push-pull.
Yeah, definitely something I've worked in as well, a little bit as well. And lately, as I'm getting back into the swing of things. For my third one, I had side plank rotations. And again, anytime I can activate core and go in any sort of rotational, like the golf swing, although I am on my side here, it's a little bit different. I feel that more in my golf swing as I've been working on a lot of the rotational type things, the improvement that I've seen this summer. And I can tell you right now, and I think you've played with me quite a bit, my yardages are further than they ever been. I don't know. We'll say it's the heat, but I've been able to keep it up a little bit with the temperatures dropping.
Big power guy.
But yeah, side plank, obviously holding that, keeping the core, and then the isolation of the rotational move with the dumbbell. Obviously both ways, doing both directions.
All right. I went towards your aspect of loving squatting. And I went with a dumbbell unilateral squat with a rotational press. So you're holding a dumbbell on a single arm. You're doing a squat, but then on the way up, you are rotating the hips. Think of you're firing your hips through a shot and pressing that arm up. So that way you're moving, basically it's a compound movement. It's a compound lift. You're using multiple motions. You're using multiple planes that you're working in. Obviously, you're activating the core again. Everything that I'm doing pretty much with weights is I'm trying to activate the core as well. And I don't want to sit there and do crunches and planks and a bunch of different things after my lift. I want to try and incorporate and be the most efficient I can be. Dumbbell unilateral squat to rotational press.
Yeah, anytime you add stabilizer to any sort of exercise, I really do think really, it hits that core quite a bit. But that was it. I was waiting, and I'm surprised it took you that long to get to that multi-tiered exercise that I was waiting for you to do. I actually had the over-under at about 1.5. So
yeah, I put it down there right in the middle. All right.
Were able to hold on a little longer. My number four, I got alternating dumbbell bench press. And I like to do that more on that exercise ball, that physio ball. And that is where that stabilizer comes in. Why do I alternate it? Because I do think you have to hold that opposite side core as you are pressing forward. I actually saw, I don't know what I was watching, they talked about the guys on tour doing the exercise, and I was able to steal that from them. Done it many times before, but when I saw them do it, it just made it click a little bit more. Made it so much better for me to do.
And it's like you eat that and you feel like you're eating cardboard, but as soon as they put Jordan on the box, you're
there. You go. You got to. So alternating dumbbell bench press, obviously you can do it on a bench, or you can do it even on a flat ground. But I like it doing it on that exercise ball or that physio ball to keep that stability going.
I like it. I like it because I was on the exact same wavelength. But me, I'm doing a single arm dumbbell press. Therefore, when you just weight one side, you do have to activate that core and keep that core tight as you're bench pressing. in order to not allow that shoulder to lift up and your body's natural wanting to turn. So I always did, I like to do things that will help you in anti-rotation as well as pressing. So single arm dumbbell press, you can do these very heavy. It does take a lot of core strength and core stability because you do have to brace it. If you try and just relax and do a normal bench press when you're just benching a single side, you're going to turn really hard. So that anti-rotation comes in really well there.
Yeah, I make it easier on myself. Holding that other weight keeps me in balance. So I don't want to fall over while I'm working out with the students see me fall over on a ball and I got to pop up. Oh, I did that on purpose type things. Got to make sure I stay somewhat balanced and that extra weight helps me out. My last one, I went to a split stance on a knee with a rotational chop. We're holding each side of the dumbbell, the ends in our hands and actually working from a lower to high type chop. Very similar to a golf swing when it comes down to it. And obviously working both directions. Again, we're really killing that core, trying to get a little bit non-traditional in some of these dumbbell workouts, more golf-specific type stuff.
Believe it or not, you're activating a lot of shoulders in those chops too, because anybody ever held a weight out in front of them just straight 90 degrees is going to know that they're firing their shoulders. No, I like that one a lot too. I incorporate that a lot in my workouts. I stuck with, if you notice at all, I kind of do a lot of, I am having a lot of lower body in this, but a lateral lunge, a weight shifting. It helps with your shifting of weight. Golf swing involves that shift of power between your right and left foot, or if you're lefty, your left and right foot. So a lateral lunge, simple and easy. You hold that dumbbell down low and you're just shifting that weight, trying to get that mobility, stability type thing. It obviously depends on how deep you can go on it, with whether or not you got tight groins or tight hip flexors, or your hips are tight. Loose hips is great for rotating through a golf swing. Lateral lunge is another one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, I like to do the lateral lunge. Again, I go back to my TRX. I know I'm just doing body weight. Obviously, you can always add that dumbbell. Sometimes I think I need that extra thing to hang on to so I don't fall over during my exercise. Now, I will say that's twice now I brought up falling over. I don't fall over that much or at all when I'm working out, but it maybe it's just a fear of mine. I don't want to fall over. So that's why I brought it up twice now.
If Scottie Scheffler can look like he's falling over in his golf swing, you can fall over a dumbbell whenever you want.
That's true.
That guy made
$62 million. Yeah. $12,000 a swing, right? Which is still crazy when you look at the numbers. So those are our top five dumbbell exercises. We were still working on our website. When we get our website up, we will keep adding our top five exercises to them as we keep talking about them. And we're going to still try to mix in some sort of fitness in every episode. So hopefully this is something you guys can take away in your training to make sure that you are getting to your golf goals and your handicap, your handicap that you're working towards. And so this brings us on to our last part of the show. And this is one thing we talked about, an announcement that we're going to make. And as we were talking a little bit earlier, we did have a World Series of Golf competition. And obviously in the World Series, there's 7 competitions. You need to win 4 of them to win. And I was very fortunate to take 4 of them so far. And so I have been thinking about it over the last couple of weeks on what I was going to have Greg do.
Oh,
if you remember, we've talked about potentially caddying for one another, getting the Masters caddy outfit. We've talked about different attire that we could wear. We talked about running a 5K, I think, in a suit. We talked about all kinds of different things. And before I tell you what I chose, I want to tell you why it took me so long to come up with this, because I actually was trying to find something that didn't work out. I was going to have you, and we were going to have to travel for this one. And then again, you would have paid for all expenses, but we were going to travel to go and play in a speed golf tournament. I was going to tell you the truth,
that might be actually not a punishment for me. I think I play really well when I play fast.
Okay, but you don't even like walking the golf course. You don't even like walking on a hole in the golf course.
That's fine.
Yeah. So I was trying to see if you can get into a invitational where it was speed golf. The only thing that was bad is one, it's either already happened for the year or they were like 6, 7, 8 hours away. And I wasn't going to make you do that. And I wasn't going to have to call Laura.
Actually, tell you the truth, I could fly there with 3 clubs in my bag.
I didn't want to have to call Laura and say, hey, listen, I got to steal Greg for the weekend. We are going to go play in a speed golf tournament. And I just thought that might put us on the bad list for any of our future trips.
8-hour drive, 45-minute round.
We could get there and back in one day. But yeah, I was going to have you try to compete in one of those. And then my thought process is that you were able to qualify, then you would have to qualify for another round.
Oh, boy.
And maybe have to do another tournament because you've earned enough points to keep playing. But unfortunately, nothing was around. There was some stuff in Europe that my brother said that you should try to do. I know he lived over there for quite some time. I'm not sure why he thinks it's so easy just to fly over there and fly back.
Courses are a little hillier there.
A little bit. There's some pretty tough ones here as well. So most of them were in like Michigan, more in the Midwest. And I just was like, man, as much as I want to do it, it just, the timeline doesn't happen. The other one, big one that I always thought would be hilarious to do would be to caddy. But the only problem about you with being a caddy is that you're not playing alongside at the same time.
And
so
you wouldn't listen to me anyways.
I would. I would at least let you, I'd throw my club and have you go get it or something like that.
Here it goes.
But obviously we usually participate in an annual turkey shootout. And I have been sending you tidbits of different things that I've been trying to find. And I think you probably know what's coming is that you are going to be a Ricky Fowler lookalike for the upcoming turkey shootout that we will do this November. And the reason I didn't wait to the last minute is because it has to be Puma. Meaning, since Puma doesn't sell it anymore at the stores, you're going to have to buy everything off eBay. And you're going to have to be head to toe.
Do I have to get a wig for the Justin Bieber haircut that he rocked?
So I thought about that because if you remember how they used to have those Ian Poulter wigs with the visors that you could buy. But no, we will go without the wig.
Okay, good.
We'll go without the hair. But yeah, Puma hat, all orange, Puma shirt, white belt, orange pants, and Puma shoes. And I will tell you.
Should I possibly shave down to a mustache that Ricky Fowler likes to rock?
I mean, if you're invested that much, I wasn't going to make you do it.
In, you know,
I wouldn't make you do it, but I do think that would be a pretty good addition. And I will say the best thing for you to do is to keep it nice, neat, and you can turn around and put it right back on eBay when you're done, because that's where you're going to have to find. I've been looking. It's not ridiculously expensive. But yeah, I will be playing with Ricky Fowler at the Ricky Fowler lookalike at the turkey shootout that we're going to have this coming holiday season. So giving you some time, you got about 2 months, give or take, to get your outfit prepared.
That makes me wonder, I'm going to have to buy an orange sweatshirt or something, because it's going to be good.
For you, as long as it's Puma.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so that is what I want to do. And you can't tell anybody about it. So it's literally, you're just going to show up and everyone's going to think Ricky Fowler's playing in our turkey shootout.
I looked in the mirror that morning and I was like, this is it.
This is it. I'm making the change.
The look I'm going with today.
And I think what people need to realize is this isn't something that most people are like, oh man, what's the big deal, right? What's the big deal? It's nice clothes. It's a good outfit. You could probably keep the stuff and then mix and match later on. But what people don't realize is that in probably the last, I don't know, let's just say 7 or 8 years that we've been playing majority of our rounds of golf, I think I can count on one hand that you came to the golf course with something that did not have a swoosh on it. And for a long time, it was your golf clubs or this and that. But I think you even pointed out a couple of weeks ago, you came up, hey, this is the first time in a long time I came without wearing Nike. So for you to show up.
It was the first time, I think, all year that I rocked an outfit that was absolutely nothing Nike.
Yeah.
Not even the belt.
We're starting a trend. You did put a stipulation on that it was not allowed to be Under Armour.
Yeah, can't rock Under Armour.
So I had to stay away from the Jordan Spieth, but I thought about the Pulcher look like where you get some plaid pants, but I thought that, man, you know what? That's just too nice. I think
yeah,
the
I could just
Ricky
borrow
orange,
that from Anthony.
I think the Ricky Fowler, was it the Oklahoma State orange that he wore for so many years? And I think you could pull it off and then pin a shirt.
I don't mind Oklahoma State orange now. David Taylor taking over the wrestling program there. Oklahoma State might be on the come up.
But pin a shirt, pin a hat, pin a sweatshirt if that's the way you're going to have to go. Pin a belt.
Could I? Never mind. You stipulated it has to be Puma. Puma. I was about to say, can I go buy an Oklahoma State orange polo?
No, Puma. Got to be Puma. It's got to be a Ricky Fowler Puma. Yeah, if it has a Puma on it.
I think Okie State is Nike, I think.
Yeah, I have an Oklahoma State baseball shirt. It's Nike. I think every college has got all the different brands. But I want to see the Puma. I want to see the little Puma on the hat with the white trim around the bill.
You know, I like it.
I think you're going to be able to rock it. Now, if you wanted to mix some white in the hat, like if it was a white hat, I'd work with you. You might need to get approval on your purchases, but yeah, bright orange.
That's true. I might be able to just have our boy print me some stuff.
That's got to be Puma. I guess he could print Puma on there, couldn't he? Got to be Puma.
Yeah, well,
though.
We won't say that he can. We won't say the company, but I'm pretty sure he can't just print logos on stuff. But
he can't if he doesn't sell it. If he can't, he just can't sell it.
No,
he can't sell it. But yeah. So that's where we're going. Like I said, I kept it simple. I didn't think I was doing too extravagant. I pushed the 5K in a suit, which I still think would be absolutely hilarious. And I did the caddy. I just said, I wanted you to play because we've been in the foursome for so many years. I'm going to start off with the Ricky Fowler and go from there and see how it comes out. So definitely for those who are listening, make sure to check it out because we will be posting maybe tidbits of what is to come for our turkey shootout, as he has Puma on and not Nike. I see your eyes right now just thinking.
People might actually not be able to find me. The leaves are going to be changing and stuff.
It's pretty bright.
If I snap hook a ball into the woods, it's going to be tough.
It's pretty bright. If you're getting truly invested, a Cobra made those orange clubs as well, too.
No, not doing that. I'm still trying to figure out how to hit my clubs, let alone buy new clubs.
Maybe that's the difference. You got to change, make a change. New clubs always make you play better.
Yeah, but also hurts the pocket.
Yeah. So hopefully, but sometime the turkey cheered out, we are attacking our goals. And before we get off air here, we are, again, we had goals starting out the year. Just give us everybody a little bit of an update of where we're sitting at our goals. We each had two major goals that we're going to that are non-fitness, because I think we've actually done a pretty good job, both of us, with our fitness. But pretty much two non-goals we have. I was able to actually achieve one of them right now. It's right on the cusp of going in multiple directions. But what about you, Greg? Where are you as far as your goals?
I am over two.
Direction trending, though. I just said that we haven't quite hit our goals. So.
Trending, I've now, over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, I have now dropped finally in my quest to drop my handicap. After starting at 13.4 and just escalating all the way up to, and I think the highest I was an 18.5 or 18.7, I am finally back down, and I've now dropped down to a 13.0. So I'm now dropping about a half a stroke off my starting handicap. And when you look at it, like, of my 20 rounds, the next five rounds that I have are 100 to 102 that will be falling off. And I still have a 90 and a 92. I think actually a 90 and two 92s that are still in my actual index. I think that I can continue to drop it over up until November, close of the season type thing. And obviously, you might sneak around in December or January.
Yeah, we got
you always have those random ones. Somebody invites you out or something. You got a nice weekend. But that was one of my goals, to get to a single digit. Might be reachable, but I'm going to have to play really well with the small amount of rounds that I have moving forward. And the other one was to have a round in the 70s, which I still think that I'm on the cusp. If I put together an entire round, I can easily do that. But like I said, it's just going to be me putting together an entire round, both off the tee, iron shots, around the green, putting, and put everything together for one round.
Yeah, I definitely think overall, we've been saying it for a couple of weeks, trending in that right direction. I also think that we are playing in a lot easier conditions now than we did all summer. It was rock hard this summer. I can already tell at my own club, things have completely changed as you're hitting off the tee. If you're not getting that first big bounce when it hits the green, things are definitely becoming a little bit, I mean, I guess easier is an easy word to say, but definitely more playable in order to hit more greens, hit more fairways. And obviously, just doing those two things alone, you've been rolling it really well. So I do think you are, both goals may come at the same time, meaning you may put yourself like a, maybe back-to-back 70s rounds will put you right at that cusp of that 9.9 handicap is what we've been hitting.
I do think I'll even take a 9.9.
Yeah, single digit, but right around that number. So for myself, I have been able to, I know at the beginning of the year, one of my goals was to get to a 3 or below handicap. And the other one was to shoot an even or below round. I will say, since the summer season's been over, being able to get out a couple rounds, not stressing out as much about score and making sure that I'm putting those scores in, it's been interesting that my scores have actually gotten a little bit better. In the past, I had played 2.5 rounds. I played 2 rounds in a 9-hole round this weekend, and I was a total of 7 over par in those 36, 45 holes. I shot 75 each 18-hole round, and I shot a 37 from the tips. I'm really starting to learn, since it's not as hard, the hard pan when you hit those fairways and those greens, that I have moved back the tees more consistently and either playing more of a combo set or even playing the tips at my course, which are rated a lot harder than just your standard blue tees, that it's going to help me out. So I've actually have my handicap right now at my all-time low. I'm sitting at a 2.4. And it was funny because I think I've been under 3. I got under 3 a couple weeks ago, and I went right back over a 3.0. But I've been underneath 4 for close to a month now. And I think I told you, man, there's some rounds falling off that I got to shoot well. And I've been able to match them. And playing a set of tees back, at least this past weekend, have really made a huge difference in our differentials. And so I have been able to hit that one goal. Obviously, that was a goal. I like to think I've adjusted my goal that I want to end the calendar year staying at a 3 or below. But that's definitely not the case when we started this. I just wanted to be at that 3. I thought they were going to come at the same time, meaning that I was going to have to shoot a par or below round to get to there. And I have it. My best round on a traditional course is a 74. I did have that 1 over 70 down in Florida at that Rodriguez course, which was a par 69. And I guess it is a traditional course, but around here we don't see a lot of par courses.
By the pro shop to do the Chichi Rodriguez celebration if you hold any.
I only did that on the first hole. I think if you remember, I went birdie. So I remember telling Anthony, I was like, Greg wants me to do this, and I like whipped my putter around real quick.
Yeah.
And he goes, do it. And then he was like, do what? I was like, never mind, I just did it. It's over.
He was killing the bull.
Yeah. Yeah. Rest in peace, though. A couple weeks later,
R.I.P.
He did pass away. But that was crazy to do this. We're sitting in a good spot. I know when I look at the fall, it's like, when am I going to play? When I was the summer, it was like, what days do I don't play on? So it is a little bit different here. Got a couple rounds coming up. I think we've got a couple rounds coming up that we're going to try to get in as well. Maybe a couple mental health days to get us in that right track. But we're close. We really are close. I think we're closer to hitting all four goals than I don't know. I don't know when I look back we were pretty high hopes early on. I think in the middle of the summer, we saw how hard this game really is. I think we're close. It's crazy. I'm even talking about swing changes that I want to attempt.
Oh, boy. Don't go down the same plan that I did. That did not work out for me.
Yeah, yeah. I want to maybe more in the off season, trying to take a couple months off and as far as just work on little things that I'm seeing. I've talked about maybe potentially trying to bring on somebody to help me with swing changes. But then again, when I start looking at how much that stuff costs, it's not going to that happen. So if any of our listeners got any ideas or tips, lead us in a direction that can help us out, we'd definitely be able to take it. But yeah, so as we come in here, summer season comes to an end. Greg picks up his first point. I know he probably a little later than he thought. Definitely a lot later than I thought he would be. I thought it would be pretty much tied, maybe one person with a 1 point lead going in here to our last two majors. Next episode, make sure to just tune in as we start talking about major number five, and then our final major as well, what we're going to do, when we're going to do it. And I know we're going to have a couple other things that we have on our to-do list, a couple videos we're going to try to post on our social media accounts. So make sure to follow us. Like us, subscribe, do whatever you do on a podcast.
Unless you hate us, tell us you love us. We don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk to you. We have some thick skins. Let us have it. Something you want to hear us talk about, some exercises, whatever it may be. But as far as you have it, I think that's all we got, Greg.
That's all for me too.
That's all. All right. We'll check everybody later. Stay strong. See everybody on the ninth green at 9:00.